I found an interesting little clipping just to show you how much that men do not know and how absolutely insane that the theory of evolution is and how absolutely incompetent are the astronomers to really figure out anything concerning the universe. I've got this little article. How many have heard of Andy Fracknoy? You've heard of Andy Fracknoy? Okay, he's from the San Francisco Astronomy Observatory Society. And he's on KGO quite a bit, and he comes in and talks about the universe and talks about stars and things like that. And I happen to think of him when I read this, because in some of the things that he presents, he is just so absolutely arrogant, it's incredible. But, nevertheless, he gives good information most of the time. Hubble finds, now Hubble spacecraft with a telescope out there, you know, that's out in space. Hubble finds great clouds of hydrogen. The Hubble Space Telescope has surprised astronomers by discovering that the cosmos, that is the universe, and cosmos is a Greek word, also one that is used by the communists, so you can tell this is a liberal writer writing it, okay? By discovering that the cosmos is strewn with vast intergalactic hydrogen clouds. Now, why does that sound very shocking? Here's the reason. According to widely accepted theories of how the universe has evolved since the Big Bang, such clouds should have disappeared. There shouldn't be that much hydrogen loose in space, and there is no known mechanism that would keep it clustered in such clouds. Well, there is too. The mechanism is called magnetism. And power of God. It is by far the most significant result of Hubble, which it has produced so far, said Edward Wetler, NASA chief Hubble science manager. Great discovery like this is one little teeny article, two little teeny paragraphs. Talking about using the law unlawfully. Here's a little ditty that Evelyn sent me. And she entitles it, "Just to Tickle Your Funny Bone." Doctor and a lawyer bumped into each other's cars, causing a slight fender bender. Each got out and saw the damage was very slight. The lawyer asked the doctor if he was okay. "Yes," he replied, "but I'm a little shook up." Whereupon the lawyer produced a whiskey flask and offered the doctor a drink to calm his nerves. The doctor took a long drink and handed the flask back, noticing that the lawyer didn't take a drink. He said to the lawyer, "Aren't you going to have one?" The lawyer replied, "Not before the police get here." Moral of the story, beware of lawyers. Okay. Now, that ties right in with what I'm going to talk about today. So if we want to entitle this sermon, we'll entitle this one, "Which Laws, Lord?" Which laws, meaning which laws should we keep? Now, everyone was shocked this week because Magic Johnson admitted that he had the HIV/AIDS virus. And everybody's been talking about it. Yesterday on the news, you couldn't get by without some big long story of how great he was and this and that and all that sort of thing. And my, what a shame it happened to such a marvelous person. And I saw a little clip on ESPN where he was on the Arsenio Hall show. And he smiled, and he was there, and he was saying, well, you know, Arsenio, I'm not a homosexual, and smiled, and, you know, and all this sort of thing. Now he's going to dedicate his life to being a spokesman for the AIDS virus. And so what he's going to do, he's going to go around and tell all these good little children that he's been saying all along how to succeed and do well is to follow my example and overcome and grow and change and work hard and all this sort of thing. And the best thing to do is have safe sex. And so he's going to be a chief spokesman for the 1-millimeter condom. Which, you know, if and I heard this on the Rush Limbaugh show, a woman doctor called in and she said, what a shame it is that people never even think about it. That if someone you dearly love came to you and said, I dearly love you, and oh, by the way, let's have sex, and oh, by the way, I have AIDS, and oh, by the way, I'm going to use a condom. Now that's, you know, something to really think about. So Magic Johnson, instead of saying, well, I'm a whoremonger, which is what the Bible would call him, is going around saying, have safe sex, or you might get AIDS. Then there was another basketball player who was autographing his book about the same time over here in San Francisco. Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain. 7'2" and 3/8". And he brassly and boldly and proudly admitted that during his basketball career, he had sex with over 20,000 women. Let me repeat that. 20,000 women. And he said, well, you know, I did that before they had AIDS. You see, whoremongering is whoremongering regardless of what it is, and that's what they both are. Now, does that mean because you have a good personality like Magic and you can smile and have think positive thoughts about, you know, the coming disaster of his death? And my wife made the comment, I don't think he's going to be too long for this world. Which very well may be. One way or the other, how long is long and how long is short, depending your perspective. But this shows how the whole world is so absolutely turned upside down. What he ought to do is go around and teach, look, the only way that sex should be is within marriage to one husband, one wife, and that you have abstinence by choice until you're married. And when you're married, you're faithful. But now he's going to go around to all of these schools, all of these places, and say, now y'all just have safe sex. Now, you see, it doesn't matter how good of a personality the person has. It's what they really are that counts. What he really is not what he's portrayed. Helping out people and doing this and doing that. And there was a comment given in the newspaper that Magic Johnson was so great on the basketball court that he could have the whole world thinking that he was going to pass the ball or shoot the ball or whatever it may be, and do just the opposite. No one knew it until it was too late. And I thought to myself, that's exactly what he's done to the whole public with his private life. He's portrayed that he's something else over here, while all the while he's a whoremonger. And what I feel sorry for is the girlfriend that he shacked up with for years, who he just married this past summer. Okay? Now, I don't feel very sorry for Magic Johnson. The ones who have AIDS that I feel sorry for are those people who get it by blood transfusion, or those people who get it from a dentist or from a doctor And I feel sorry for the doctors that have to work on those people, that they get it going the other way. And as a matter of fact, there is one sure cure to get rid of AIDS out of the society once and for all. Quarantine all those that have it, and teach everyone to follow the laws of God concerning sex, and over a period of time, AIDS would be gone. No longer a threat. Now, that's why they had the Victorian age. Remember one of the things in the 1950s and 60s? You people are old-fashioned prudes. You're living in the Victorian age. Touch not, handle not, look not. No one asked the question, why did the Victorian age come? It came because there was a ravaging syphilis epidemic that was just devastating the whole population, and was responsible for nearly 25% death of the population in Europe, including England. So they finally got the point. No sex before marriage, only sex during marriage, no extramarital affairs, no brothels, women cover up from the neck to the ankle to the wrists, and look not and touch not and handle not, and no one do anything unless you are chaperoned. Are we getting close to that again? Yes, indeed. Okay? Where does all this attitude come from, and how is it that a society gets itself in that position? Because they have said long ago that all the laws of God are done away. That what God said as creator has no meaning in our lives because we want to do what we want to do, and we want to have our sexual revolution and all this sort of thing. So God says, if that's what you want, you got it. Now, we can just do a little review here. Remember what happened to Adam and Eve? They ate of the tree that they shouldn't have, and they didn't believe what God said. And the whole world became so wicked that by time we come to the days of Noah, it says that the thoughts of man was only evil continually. Therefore, God brought the flood upon the whole world to destroy every living thing, because morality affects the whole creation. And then we come to the time of the first Laodicean. Anybody here know who the first Laodicean really was? First Laodicean was Lot. He lived in Sodom. Just like a Laodicean today, couldn't make up his mind. He was frustrated because of all the things that are going on. It's like a lot of people today, they see Magic Johnson on TV and they say, oh, that's terrible. But no conviction of their own. Didn't believe God. Finally, the angels came in. And he was so involved in the system. You know, he's called righteous, all right? But he was still blind because he couldn't see, right? And his morals were highly questionable, because when the angels came and the homosexuals wanted to go ahead and seduce the angels because they were good-looking men as far as they could tell, Lot even volunteered his own daughters. I mean, you think about that. That's quite a thing, right? To volunteer your own daughters who are supposedly virgins. So the angels intervened and stopped that stupidity and made everyone blind to end that crisis. So the next day, after sending the message out to his sons, come on, you got to get out of here. You know, God is going to destroy it. Ah, no, no, no. You're like an insane man. It isn't going to happen. So the next morning, angel said, hurry up and get out of here, Lot, you and your wife and your two daughters. Hurry and go. And don't look back. So you know the rest of the story. Mrs. Laodicean, look back. Bam! God meant what he said, and she turned to a pillar of salt, which Josephus, writing in his day, said that the pillar of salt is still there unto this day. And so he was the first Laodicean. Because which law, Lord, should I follow? Which laws should I follow? Now let's come to Deuteronomy 5, and we find something very similar to this. Deuteronomy 5. You know, everyone wants the goodness and blessings of God, right? Right. Everyone does. But they don't want to do what God says. It's kind of like taking your life and going down the wrong way on a one-way street. Now, you may make it to the other end, but you're going in the wrong way. And chances are you're going to have a wreck along the way, right? I mean, have you ever tried driving the wrong way on a one-way street? Especially if you're going 60 miles an hour that way and they're coming at you 60 miles an hour the other way. Okay. And then you wonder why you're hurt. Now, Deuteronomy 5, we have where God gave the Ten Commandments. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. Let's just go right along in verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them." We'll see later on that there is a purpose and a function for law. And that God gave these things for people's good. Now, it's just like people say with this AIDS thing that Magic Johnson so supposedly has made a huge awareness of it. Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. What do they always do? They call for the government to do something. The government is not responsible for the private morality decisions of the individual. In a sense, the government is, because the government is not teaching people what are the proper moral things based upon the Bible. So therefore, in that sense, they are responsible. You see, is the government responsible because Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain went out and committed adultery with 20,000 women? What on earth did the government have to do with that? Nothing. It was his sole individual choice. And what about Magic Johnson? Did the government make him do it? Could the government stop him from doing it? No. Uh-uh. And so now they're going to test AIDS for all the basketball players, which tells you that maybe there's a little secret going on among all the basketball players, which may be something they don't want anyone to know, such as maybe a secret homosexual ring among them. Very possible. Because people do not want to do what God says. And we find that right here. Verse 2, "And the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. And the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount, out of the midst of the fire." Now, do you think that God meant business when he came down on Mount Sinai? Do you think that God was serious about what he was doing when he brought them out of the land of Egypt, when he brought them through the wilderness all that way, when he was going to give them the promised land? Do you think that God was serious when he sent the spies in there to spy out the land? And imagine how God felt, let alone Moses and Joshua and Caleb, when they came back and said, "Well, they're tall people." So God says, "All right, because I'm serious, you aren't going in." So they wandered another 38 years in the desert, all dying away because they didn't think that God was serious. So here at the end of that 40 years, Moses is saying, "Now look, everybody, we're all here and we're alive. Now I want you to know what God did. He talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of fire. And I stood between you and the Lord at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by the reason of the fire, would not go up and went not up into the mountain, saying," where God said then, that's a parenthetical statement, verse 5, "God said, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." Now, do you think God is serious with that? Yes, he is. That's why Magic Johnson, the idol, has fallen, because he is not God. All flesh is corruptible. All human beings are corruptible. All human beings are going to die. Why worship a human being that has the law of sin and death within them? Why follow a human being whose standard is secretly a whoremonger? Makes you wonder about all that. You know, one of the things that the mafiosa does, one of the things that criminals do, is to give the charities. Okay? All because they don't believe this first statement, you shall have no other gods before me. Period. Okay? Then it says, you shall make no graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, that's the earth beneath, that's in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow yourself down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. If God is God, why should he tolerate the worship of anything else as God, which is not God? But everyone wants to have their little idol, their little statue, their little whatever, okay? Or basketball player, whatever it may be, football player, okay? Because God has something he always does, visiting the iniquity of fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Long and short of it is this: if you don't keep the commandments of God, you hate him. But people think because God says you shall not do this that God hates them, when all the time God is saying don't do that because it's not in your best interest or good to do that. You want to come to me, God says, and have the blessings from me? Here's what to do. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Shall not take the name of your Lord God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath to sanctify it, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days labor, 7th day the Sabbath of the Lord. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your manservant, maidservant, ox, ass, cattle, stranger, manservant, maidservant, that they may rest as well as you. For remember, one of the reasons that we keep the Sabbath is that you were a servant or a slave in the land of Egypt. In other words, we keep the Sabbath as a constant reminder that out in the world, we're the servant of sin. Out in the world, we were the servant of Satan. Okay? And that the Lord your God brought you out of there through a mighty hand with an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to keep the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. And yet we have turned all of this over to schools, to daycare centers, to social services. I saw a heartbreaking account, how many of you saw that, of a man who was accused of molesting and raping his own 8-year-old daughter. And it wasn't true all the way along, but this stupid little bureaucrat down at the family social services and the policemen were convinced that he did when he said he didn't, and they perpetrated this thing by saying that there was no semen on the little girl's undergarments. Okay, in which he was viciously torn and everything like that. And the father said when he first saw her at the hospital, it just made him completely and absolutely sick. The truth was, there was semen on her undergarments, and after 2 years, having taken away the daughter, having put her in a foster home, having her 12 days from adoption, never to be seen again by the parents, they finally got the DNA test to prove that it wasn't him. They've lost their home. He's lost his job. He's lost his savings. He's lost his standing. And the government says, we are sorry. Furthermore, 1 year into it, after much counseling with a psychologist, the daughter finally admitted that it was the father who did it. And all that was brainwashing by some ne'er-do-well altruistic, Satan-inspired psychologists to brainwash and convince the little girl to do what they wanted her to do so they could have a conviction. And there are all too many cases of that. But I tell you, I cried when I saw that. I did. I was upset. And then we get this story.
Y'all have safe sex, everyone. Magic is still here.
That's a time I'd like to have enough TVs to have a six gun to shoot it every once in a while. All right. Why does God want children to honor their father and mother? That it may go well with you. Okay? You shall not kill, yet the land is filled with it. Why? Because the religionists say, oh, well, love the Lord. Don't keep any of God's laws. You don't have to do that. They're bondage. You shall not commit adultery. You know, if they persist in this attitude, as we've said before, and we've been just about right on the line, haven't we? That there is going to come a super AIDS. And it's going to lay them low quickly. Neither shall you steal, neither shall you bear false witness against your neighbors. Oh, we had a new neighbor move in, bought the house next door. Wonderful, wonderful, nice neighbors. We sent them a little planter over there, welcome to the neighborhood and all of this, and 2 days later the police were out there. Carting the husband off, fingerprinted him, mugged him. They moved into the new house. He put all the money down there, and then she informed him that she was going to leave him and take the house. Ha, 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 ha. So what did he do? He beat her up. He probably shouldn't have beat her up, but he did. Had him arrested, carted off, the only thing in the paper, spousal abuse. And so one of the neighbors said, have you heard? Heard what? We didn't know anything about it except what they told us. So guess what she has now? She's got another guy living in there with him already. I mean, it's insane. You think the world is far removed. Well, this evil world, it's right next to you. All right? And you think you can move someplace, get away from it? Nope. You think someplace that 25 years ago was a wonderful place to live? Don't go there now. It ain't that way now. Okay? Now, to finish this off, it says, neither shall you desire your neighbor's wife, nor neither covet your neighbor's house, his field, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his ass, or anything that is his neighbor. Okay, and God spoke all of these words, and he didn't speak any more at that time. Now, all the people said, oh, we can't stand this. We're going to die. Down through the next verses, and they said, well, Moses, you go speak to us. We'll listen to you. But did they listen to Moses? No, they didn't listen to Moses. Okay? Now, let's come down here to verse 29. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children forever. That's God's desire. God said he doesn't even desire in the death of the wicked. Okay? Now, let's find out what is the purpose of the law. Let's go to Romans, the third chapter. Romans, the third chapter, verse 19. Romans 3 and verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law. Who's subject to the law? Are we all subject to the law? Yes, we are. Any law that God has, we're subject to it. Doesn't matter what it is. If you don't believe it, stand out in front of a train, see if you can stop it. Who is subject to the law? that every mouth may be stopped. No talking back to God, he's right. And all the world. All the world. That means everybody in it may become guilty before God. Verse 20. Therefore, by the works of law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Now, we'll get into that sometime between now and the Passover to cover that fully. I'll just say here, remember this. Nothing can substitute for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's the sacrifice of Christ that justifies you. Deeds of law are not the sacrifice of Christ. So therefore, they cannot justify you, though you are required to do the law. Because the law is not Christ. Just remember that. Quickest, easiest, simplest way to remember. Nothing can substitute for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Here is what the law was designed to do. The law was not designed to forgive sin. The law was not designed to put you in right standing with God through the forgiveness of sin by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The law, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what the law does. Tells you what sin is. It's what the law is for. Now, chapter 4 and verse 15. Very important. Chapter 4 and verse 15, because the law works wrath when you transgress it, right? Good example. Does the law, don't put your hand on a hot stove, you'll burn your hand. Okay? When does that law work wrath? When you keep it? Or when you break it? When you break it. It works wrath. When does the law against adultery work wrath? When adultery is committed. Ask Magic. Okay? For where no law is, there's no transgression. So if God had not given these laws, if God had not given his commandments, God himself would not judge. So again, which laws, Lord? Okay? All right, let's see some other things concerning that. Let's go to Romans, the 6th chapter. We'll just cover a couple of these key verses. Verse 1, what shall we say then, because we have forgiveness through Jesus Christ and justification through Jesus Christ? What then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin, that is by baptism, the rest of the chapter tells you, live any longer therein? Now let's come clear down here to verse. Let's come clear down here to verse 16. Okay, no. Verse 15. I won't get into verse 14 because that's very technical and detailed, and I know the way I am. If I get into it, I won't stop unless I go through it. So we'll save that again. Verse 15, what then shall we sin? What is sin? Sin is transgression of the law. Because we are not under law, but under grace, God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Very clear cut. Okay? And that is true. That is absolutely true. You can apply this to anything. Was Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain a slave to his whoremongering? Yes, by his own admission. So I'm not pointing out something that he has not publicly proclaimed to the whole world and written about and willingly autographed his book and said, fine, nice to meet you, have a nice day. One thing I can hope is that someday he'll repent. Okay? But was he a slave to it? Yes. Is a person slave to drugs? Yes. Do people become slaves to murder? Yes. That's why there are serial killings. Okay? Whatever it is, do people become slaves to idols? Yes, a Catholic can't even go by the front of the church without genuflexing. Okay? Whether of sin unto death, let's see, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. But then being made free from sin. Now that's really not a good translation. In a sense it is, because if all of your past sins have been blotted out, which they are, you are free from that debt that you owe God because of the sin. So in that sense it is true, but you're not free from sin in as much as that you will never sin again from that moment forward. So this should actually read, and is in the Greek, justified from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity. Now that it doesn't mean that they were sick with an infirmity. That means weakness. Because of the weakness of your flesh. And why do all of us still sin today? Because of the law of sin and death and the weakness of the flesh. For as you have yielded yourselves servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. And what fruit then did you have in the things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And yet the do-gooder, altruistic, Satan-worshipping, communist-led, inspired, bureaucratic people who want to make safe sex available in high school and to teach our children from kindergarten up all about sex so that they can have already made perverts for the homosexual community. By time they get out of school, now they want to give condoms to all of our children. We're talking about lives. We're talking about bringing God's wrath. That is the doctrine of Balaam, because what was it that Balaam taught Balak, the son of Beor, to bring against the children of Israel? Bring them into sexual activity and God must curse them. Balaam said, I can't curse them because God won't allow me to. But you do that and God must curse them because of his law. Now, you talk about something diabolical. But that's exactly what's happening in the school and societies today. All because some preacher got up and started the doctrine within the churches.
Oh, well, you don't have to do this law. Just love the Lord. Verse 22, but being now justified from sin, you became the servants of God. Okay? And you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Now you got something to look forward to. What does magic have to look forward to? Death. It is a death sentence. Since people all through the 60s and 70s did not get the message from God that it was wrong, therefore AIDS has come. And people are either going to learn that it is wrong and stop, or they're going to die. No two ways about it. Now, it's the same thing that's going to happen concerning the laws of God and everlasting life. Same thing. Okay? Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I do hope. I wished it may be possible. Who knows? Anything is possible. Is it possible for Magic Johnson to ever repent? It's possible. It's possible. And I would frankly hope that he would. I really hope that he would, because there's always the parable of a prodigal son. Regardless of what you have done, if you come to your senses and repent to God, there can be forgiveness. And I wish that that would happen to him before he dies. And would that not be a good thing?